Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Good morning and good morning and good morning. Welcome to God's Resurrection Power Church of Christ Ministry. My name is Apostle David Callender. I'm your host and Holy Spirit is overseer. We are a Bible-believing ministry that teaching, preaching, and reaching the lost souls of the sin-sick world for the kingdom of heaven in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. We are excited and we are delighted that the Lord has granted us one more day to be in the land of the living. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we are rejoicing and we are glad. We are exceedingly glad. Praising God and glorifying God for all the saints of God. Thanking God for Apostle Linda Washington, Bishop James Washington, for Prophetess Millie Jefferson, for Brother Deacon Fraser, for Prophetess Misha, Prophetess Jackie, for Evangelist Sheila, Evangelist Darlene Campbell, for Minister Andrea Butmush, Lord, for Sister Mother Grant, Lord God, for Sister Anna, for Apostle Stewart, for Pastor Joyce Stewart, and all of the others that have come on here from time to time and share the word of God that's on their hearts. We pray this morning that you would touch us this morning. Father God, we are seeking your face today, and we are praying that you would touch us today. Lord God, we ask you to come on and have your way. Come on in. Come on in, Lord Jesus, and have your way. Saturate the atmosphere with your glorious presence. Have your way in our midst, Lord Jesus. We surrender now that you might come in, O God, and touch us, Lord. Watch over us and keep us safe and secure in what we do. Apostle and Bishop can't be here today, but we thanking God that we are here, and we will do what thus says the Lord in the precious name of Jesus. Let's go into the worship.
Thank you.
All the goodness of God, all my life. Thank you. Because of who you are,
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I worship you because of who you are. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, because you are our God. You are our Savior. You are our Redeemer. You are our soon coming King. O my Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Father, we just thank you today. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. We are so excited, you know. Every day in the land of the living is a day to be excited. There's many folk that were here yesterday, but they're no longer here today. But we are still here in the land of the living. We are breathing, and we have the activities of our limbs. That's enough to praise God for. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I just thank him. I just praise him. I honor him with everything that's within me. Oh, my Father, I just bless the name of the Lord Jesus. We are excited. We pray for Pastor James, Pastor Linda Washington, and Bishop James Washington. Pray for Pastor Millie, and we pray for all the saints and pray that God is healing and delivering and restoring. And we pray, oh God, that you saturate this atmosphere right now with your glorious presence, that you take complete control of what we say and what we do this morning. Let it be none of me, but all of you, oh God. And as we seek you this morning, we ask that you speak to us. We are not going to be too long unless the Holy Spirit say the same, say it different. We want to talk this morning about Yahweh GPS leads to positive results. Yahweh, or God's GPS, leads to positive results. Positive results. And how many know that we can go off in our own belief and our own mindset and end up in a whole bunch of trouble when we make a decision not to follow God's leading? I remember which time that I get in my car, and I have one of the best GPS that you can have in a vehicle. It's in the Cadillac Escalade. And I got in there one time, and I was going someplace, and I said, well, I know where I'm going. I don't need a GPS. My wife said, why don't you just put it in the GPS? Well, I end up taking much more time, because when I thought I knew where I was going, when I got to the place, the place was not where I wanted to be. I had something in my mind that where this street was going to be. In my mind, I was telling myself, yes, this was where the street was going to be. But when I get to that place, taking the left turn and right turn and going around this place and stuff, and got to where I thought I was getting to, it was the wrong place. And what happened is I had to deal with my wife all that day, for the rest of that day, because I have lost so much time in driving around trying to find the place and still was so stubborn and thick-headed that I didn't want to put it in the GPS. He keeps saying, put it in the GPS. Put it. And I said, no, I'm not going to put it in the GPS because I know where I'm going. And guess what happened? It took me a long time to get to find the place. Finally, I put it in the GPS, and in minutes, I was there. But I had to deal with a mouse. See, now, if you had put it in the GPS right away, we would have been get to our destination in no time. Well, this is what God's, we call it, God's positive system. God's positive system. Go, we said GPS, but I call it God's positive system. So here in this book, let's go in. We're going to go a couple books, and then we're going to come home. Let's go to Philippians chapter 3. A lot of times we don't get where we are going because we are so busy looking at where we're coming from or where we came from. We are so stuck on the past that we can't even get in the present. And if we can't get in the present, what happens is we find it very difficult to reach the future. Do you hear me today? Because we are stuck on looking back why this thing happened, why this didn't work out. You know, we can't even enjoy the woman that we have now. We can't enjoy the man that we have now because we are still stuck on stupid. I call it stuck on stupid. We're still worrying about that man that didn't treat us good, that woman that didn't love us the way that we love her. You know, she still had to have the other boyfriend. And the girl, you know, that man, he still want to have the other woman. So I've never had an opportunity to enjoy my life, my time with him, because I was so busy worrying about what he was doing and what he wasn't doing. You know, we're stuck on stupid. We can't move forward because we are thinking about the past. We are worrying about the past, so we can't even get in the future. So many people want to get in the future, but they're stuck on the past. Well, you know, they're stuck on their last marriage. They're stuck on their last job. They're stuck on their last car. Well, you know, I bought a car from this person, and now I got another car from them, and it's doing the same thing the first car did. You see, we keep going back into the same system and the same problem, doing the same things, expecting different results, and that's a fool. If you continue doing the same thing, you'll get the same results. Hallelujah. So what happened is that we got to get to a place where we don't look back and we don't focus on where we have already passed already. It is called the past because we have already been through that, done that, been there and done that, got the postcard to prove. Hallelujah. So I don't have to keep worrying about it and going over and over all the time, like over spilled milk. Now, Mama just said, don't cry over spilled milk because it's already in the carpet. The carpet is already sucking it up, so don't cry about it. Go and get a fresh glass. Go get a fresh glass. I remember when I was about 19 or 20 years old, my daughter's mother, I think about 19 or 20, and I was in Canada, and I was in Canada for a while working. I made a lot of money, and I loved her so much because she was pretty. She was light-skinned, pretty, had a nice body, and she loved what I love, and I love sex, so she loved sex too. So glory to God. We enjoyed each other, but I was in Canada working. I was sending money for her, and I'm saying when I get home, she and I, we're going to be so good. We're going to be so good together. We're going to do this thing. She had my daughter and my first daughter. So when I get back from Canada and got home, I'm telling you all this stuff so to show you where we're going in this message today. It's all about the message. So when I got home, I used to smoke Marlboro cigarettes and smoke a lot of marijuana and stuff, singing in the band. And when I got home, I didn't have enough money. She didn't have enough money. Matter of fact, she didn't have any of the money that I worked for, labor for in Canada. She didn't have $1 because she was dating this guy. And she wanted to impress him by buying him stuff, clothes and shoes, all of my hard labor money that I would labor for, she was spending on this dude. And when I got back to Barbados, she didn't have $1 to give me. I couldn't even buy a pack of cigarettes. I just came in from an international country, and I had to beg people for cigarettes. I had to bum cigarettes. I was so mad. At that particular time, I felt like I wanted to take her life. And my mother told me a very powerful story that I remember up to today. She said, son, there's more fish in the sea that has been caught already. I couldn't understand what she was trying to tell me. But, you know, as I grew older, my mom passed away. She crossed over to Glory Land because she was a Christian when she left this country. She left the world. She was in love with Jesus. And I didn't get to understand what my mama was saying to me until I came to America. I didn't understand. She was saying there's more fish in the sea that's been caught already. But something clicked when she said that because I left the country and came to America back in the early 70s to cut sugar cane, knowing that I ain't going to cut no sugar cane because I always hear the people say when they come, you know, we come back from America, cut in the sugar cane, you know, they used to get out the country to go that, and some people would run away, and they stayed in America, become illegal till they get legal, being married to somebody or something. So I said, well, I'm going to try this thing. And the first time I tried to get on the immigration exit from the country, this cut sugar cane, I made it. Because a lot of people didn't make it because they wasn't healthy or they wasn't strong enough. They wasn't physical enough, and they would get turned down because you had to go through all these different examinations, you know, and all this stuff before you could even get the okay to come to cut the sugar cane. And like they were doing, like you was going for a blue collar job, but they wanted to make sure that when you get to America that you wasn't going to fall down dead in the field, or you weren't going to just not able to do it, and then they got to ship you back to the country. Well, I came here, and holy be sure, my mom gave me all the money that she had, which was a few hundred dollars. Like, I think it was $375. And I came to America, you know, because I wanted to get anything that would get me out of the country to get this woman out of my mind, because she was my past. At that particular time, she was becoming my past. I couldn't stay in the country, because if I stay in the country, maybe I would have taken her life. And then my life would be given. I would have get hanged, because they hang you in the country, you know, because the country was under the British law. They're independent now, but they had the hangman gallows and all the thing. If you murder somebody, they would put you on the gallows. They would hang you. So I would get hanged. So I leave the country. So I didn't have to go through all of that. And make a long story short, I forget about all how she spent my money and how she had another man and all this stuff. And the man, after a while, left her and go and get married to another woman. You know what I'm saying? So she ain't never got married to him, nor to me. So I came here and living here in this country. And she, from time to time, she comes up here to visit my daughter, when my daughter was in Florida. Now my daughter lives in Georgia. I think she's coming up here this summer, too. I think my daughter told me that a couple of days ago. Well, she'll come, and when she see me, she'll ask me for this or ask me for that. And I would give her. I'll give her what she asked for, you know, finances. If she wanted $50, $100, something else, I have it, I give it to her. But coming to intimacy, we could never be intimate again. Can never be again. Because she has broken my heart. And I forgot, forgive her and forgot about what she had done. You got to get to that place instead of keep looking at your past and you can't even get it. Your husband left you so many years ago. Your wife left you so many years ago. And you're still worrying about her. You still can't get a new man, can't get a new husband, can't get a new wife, because you're worrying about how she treats you, how she left you, how she took your money, how she took the car, how she took the dogs, how she took the cats, she took the parakeet. All this stuff is going through your mind, and you can't even move on. And this, right in New York City, I think this is like 16 women to one man now. I remember back early in the early 80s or 90s, a late 90s, they would tell you it was like 11 or 12 or 13 women to one man. But yet still we'd be fighting over one woman, wanting to kill somebody over one woman. She gone, one man. He gone, go let him go. Get another man. Get another woman. Get married. Go make some babies or something. You know, don't get bent out of shape over one man or one woman or one job or something or car. You'll get another car. You'll get another home. The home burned down, don't cry and think, yes, you had some good stuff in there, some good memories, you know, pictures and all the albums and stuff. But you'll get, make some fresh albums. You'll get some, take some new pictures. Now, here in this book of Philippians, they're talking about Yahweh GPS leads to positive results. God results. God GPS. When you're being led by God, you're going to reach your destination. That's what it's all about. When you're led by God, you're going to reach your destination. I remember going to Africa in the plane. And second time, I was going to Africa in the plane. And the plane was going through some turbulence. I mean, that plane was like, it was on the high waters. It was just jumping up and jumping down. Lord Jesus, I tell you, it would make you vomit. It was just so bad. And I had a couple, a woman and two young ladies, was sitting across from me, the young women, they were like it was 17, 18, somewhere, 19, somewhere around there. But they was nervous, because I don't know if they ever flew in a plane before. I can't say it was their first flight, because I didn't ask them, or if it was their last flight. I can't tell what it was, but I know that they was going on vacation, and they was some kind of nervous. So I was praying silently. You know, that wasn't my first time or my first time or fourth time traveling. I've traveled a lot of times. But I was praying. I said, Lord, you know this plane is going through turbulence, and Lord, you're going to settle this plane and let us reach our destination. So I said, he said, well, make these, it was like I'm hearing him say, make these these people over here comfortable. So I told a lady, I said, well, you know, I'm a servant of the Most High God, and I'm on a mission for the Lord right now. I'm going on to do a crusade for the poor, for God's people. And I said, this plane going to reach the destination. Well, they look at me like I was a little silly, you know what I'm saying? But at the same time, you could see like they had a little reprieve from the nervousness, because I was giving them a surety that God is not going to let the plane go down with his servant on that plane. And I wasn't thinking about where I'm coming from. I was thinking about where I'm going. So we reached the destination safe. And just to tell you that, Paul says here in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, he says, so that I may, Paul begins to talk, because at this point in time, the Philippian church is going through a whole lot of ups and downs, fussing and fighting, complaining about this and complaining about that. And Paul is trying to let them know that his only focus is on Jesus. He's not concerned, people are concerned, talking about, but he's the one that used to, you could hear them. You remember that guy called himself Paul the Apostle? He's the guy that used to arrest the Christians and put them in jail and even cause some of the Christian people to be put to death. You can imagine he's saying all of these things. They're saying all these things about him. But Paul is not focusing on what he used to do. He was focusing on his assignment, and he wanted to be closer and closer to God, as close as he could get to God. That was his focus. What is your focus today? Are you focused on where you came from or where you're going? Because where you came from is not going to help you. Where you're going, your focus must be on where you're going. Yes, I know I came up the crack house and the whole house and all that stuff, lying and cheating and all that kind of conniving, deceitfulness and all that stuff that I did. But that's not what I'm focusing on. I'm focusing on how God cleansed me, cleaned me up, shaped me up, polished me, and now he got me in a showcase that people can see me. Not see my past, but they can see what he's doing with me right now. Hallelujah. So here Paul begins to speak. In Philippians chapter 3 in the King James Bible, Paul says, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Listen to Paul. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehend of Christ. He said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehend, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and pressing forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul began to speak. This verse may also be paraphrased. In order that I may personally know him, that I might both experience his resurrection power and share in his suffering. And thus I will be more and more conformed to his death. Paul wants the righteousness of God so that he can obtain a personal relationship with Jesus in actual day-to-day experience. This knowledge of Christ is obtained by experiencing in daily problems, needs, ministry, and so forth. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead, knowing Christ, also entails participating in his suffering. Paul desires to share in the Lord's suffering because they bring him into a deeper and more meaningful relationship with him. Companionship in sorrow establishes the most intimate and lasting ties as afflicted hearts cling to each other. The result of participating in Christ's suffering is that Paul is being led like him in death. The word death has double meaning here, including inward and outward, ethical and physical death. As Jesus died in regard to sin on the cross, so Paul is doing more and more in his daily life. As Jesus was bodily slain, so the apostle should Caesar's verdict go against him, is prepared to be slain. We have to get to this place in the walk with Christ that we are so focused on eternity that nothing bothers us. We are not looking at our past. Our focus is on our future. Our hope is in Christ Jesus, the rock of our salvation. If by any means I might attain means in order that I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Paul is so concerned of living again that his focus was just going through a straight line in an open tunnel. All he could see is Jesus in his walk. So, like the preceding verse, this one also contains a literal and a non-literal interpretation. Paul is eager to become more like Jesus in his death so that he can progressively experience more of the believer's resurrected life to be enjoyed now and after. Paul is concerned of walking in the newness of life, which declares that Jesus is the head of his life. Okay, so that we can someday undergo the physical resurrection from the grave. This experiencing God's power in one of his greatest aspects. Paul denies that he has already attained his objective, verse 10 and 11. That objective, sharing his sufferings, being made like Jesus in death, and experience resurrection from the dead. At this point in his life, the apostle does know Christ, but not to the full extent possible. He has experienced his power, but not to the degree of his desire. He has been made like Jesus in his death, but he can die still more to sin and self. He does walk in newness of life, but there is room for improvement. Either were already perfect. Paul said he did not consider himself to be perfect. He did not consider himself to reach to the place that he wants to. This is why Paul said he did not consider himself to be apprehended. He's not there yet. This is why we said that we are living for Christ, but we're not there. We have not arrived yet. We are not perfect yet, but we are being perfected each day. And Paul begins to say, we're talking about Yahweh GPS leads to positive results. Or God's positive system. God's positive system. When God is leading you, you will reach there. Here in Philippians, Paul begins to speak to the Philippian church at Philippi. Paul, the power of resurrection, Paul is talking about this. Paul wants to experience this. There's nothing greater to Paul than experiencing the power of the resurrection, the power of his death, his suffering. Paul says that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering being made conformable unto death. But Jesus did not buck. He did not bicker. He did not call. He did not cry. He did not scream. He did not make any type of noise concerning his death. He went to the cross humbly. Did not make a sound. He went there because he came here to go to the cross to save humanity. Paul said, I want to know why, how this man can love me or love humanity enough to give his life, go to the cross and die, be nailed, be pierced, be crowned, be pierced. This is not the time to look back. I want to know him. I want to get to know him better. Do you hear what Paul is saying? I want to know him. I want to recognize that suffering, especially for the gospel. It brings deeper fellowship with Christ. Paul sees his ministry as an extension of Jesus' ministry, portrayed in Isaiah chapter 53, accounts of the suffering servant. Paul says that he was conformed to his death. Paul desired to emulate the self-emptying love that Jesus displayed on the cross. See, when you get to that place that all you see or all that you're focusing on is Jesus Christ, that your life would not have any meaning. It wouldn't have any meaning. See, you say, well, I don't care. If I got to die for him, I die for him. I'm going to live for him, and if I got to die, I die. You become like Esther. If I perish, I perish, but I'm going to see the king. You got to have this kind of mindset. It's very easy for us to say with Jesus, 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 when everything is working fine. But when things are topsy-turvy, can we still say Jesus, Jesus, Jesus? When the husband walks out the door, when the wife walks out the door, when the kids go down the street and get killed, hallelujah, when the kids are being arrested and taken away, can we still praise God? Can we still lift up the name of Jesus? My daughter crossed over at 38 years old. Beautiful, this sim. Could be on the Ebony magazine. She was gorgeous. Went into the hospital with hemorrhoids and never got out of the hospital. She got an infection in the hospital and died. And I had to do the eulogy for her in the morning of her going home. And I had to preach on Blog Talk Radio. And people said, well, you're going to... Still do, yes, I'm going to still do Blog Talk Radio. Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. I still have to bring a message on Blog Talk Radio because that's my assignment. You don't give up your assignment because of something. If I got to work, I make sure there's somebody. If somebody called me for the job, I make sure there's somebody bringing the message. If there's nobody can bring the message, I'll quit the job. I'll tell the people that I'll do it another time because this is what God is saying to me. Paul says, I may attain to the resurrection. Paul anticipates that being conformed to Christ's death will lead to new life in the power of Christ's resurrection. Romans chapter 6, verse 9 to 11. Verse 4 to 11. Romans, let's go over this here. This is what Paul is going after. We have to get to this place. I'm telling the truth. Computers are falling down. Jesus, hold this thing for me together. Glory to God. Romans chapter 6, verse 4 to 11. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. So see, we always say that baptism is part of your salvation. And a lot of people would say, well, the thief on the cross did not baptize. Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise. But he was living in a different dispensation, so he didn't have to be baptized to be saved. All he had to do is recognize that Jesus was Lord and repented for his sin, and he did all that on the cross. And Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise. Now here Paul said, talking about walking in the newness, when we are baptized into Christ's death, we baptize with him, and we come up out of that baptism into Christ's life. So we are dying to sin in that baptismal pool, I'm coming up to the newness, the righteousness of who Christ is, the holiness of who he is. Hallelujah. But we find it hard to walk in the righteousness or the holiness because of this nasty flesh that we carry. I got some nasty flesh too. You got some. We all have. Why? Because we kicked that up in the garden. That nasty flesh that I'm talking about is sin. Sin is in the flesh. It's not in the spirit. All of us wants to do the things that are pleasing to God. But from time to time, you, me, all of us do the things that don't please God. And thank God not giving us a license to sin, but thank God for Jesus being the advocate for us, that we can go to the Father in the name of Jesus Christ and receive a forgiveness of our sin. Hallelujah. So here, Paul is talking about sin in Romans, then we go back to Philippians. He says, verse 5 says, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. In other words, we should not live for sin anymore. Hallelujah. It was so easy before we received the gift of salvation. It was so easy before we received the gift of the Holy Spirit to walk in sin. But now there is a war going on in our flesh and in our spirit that is drawing us, pulling us to sin. Hallelujah. It wants us to sin because he has no hold on us. He has no power. He has no dominion over us now. So he's still trying to get the flesh to do what the spirit don't want to do. That's why Paul said there's always a war going on inside of him. He walked with Jesus. As a matter of fact, he had an encounter with Jesus on his way to Damascus. He got the instructions straight from the Savior's mouth, what to do and what not to do. And yet still, he had this thorn in his side, this sin that was born in him that he couldn't get rid of. The flesh is always in the flesh. You say, well, how this pastor could be a pastor, man of God, a woman of God, and he is still he's still fornicating, still committing adultery, still smoking crack, still smoking marijuana, still drinking. It's the flesh. It's the flesh. And we got to learn and practice how to fight. We got to practice how to fight every day. It doesn't mean that someday that you might not come up short. Because as I read earlier, we none of us are perfect. But we are striving for perfection. And God says that he's perfecting us every day. He said, I'm taking you from glory to glory, from faith to faith. But every day you're going to be tried. We're going to be tried. This morning I really didn't want to come on a blog talk with you. Because last night I had a pain in my wrist. In both of my wrists. I don't know what it's all about. But I took two extra strength pills I got here. I don't know over there. But they have so much caffeine in them. You can only take them things if you do have any kind of pain. You should take them only in the morning, so you'll be full of energy and no pain all through the day. But if you ever take them at nighttime, then these things are not going to let you sleep. So I laid up in the bed with my eyes closed all night. When I first took the pill, I was able to go to sleep. I sleep for about 2 or 3 hours. But when the pills kick in, I got up to go to the bathroom or something. I couldn't go back to sleep. So now, once the pills through the night, coming on to morning, the pills wear off. I'm still awake. I'm full awake laying in the bed with my eyes closed. Now I want to sleep. And I want to sleep because I'm tired. And I said to the Lord, I said, you know what, Lord? The pastor Washington, Bishop Washington, they got some appointments today. So they were hoping that they were going to bring the message today. So I said, look, you know what? I'm not going to go on the line today. I'm telling myself this, and I'm saying this to the Lord. Lord, I'm not going to go on the line today because I'm tired. You know I'm tired, Lord. I'm having a conversation with him. Well, while laying there on the bed, it was probably about 9:30 or something like that. I think it was 9:30, something to 10. And the Lord said, get up and fill out the information in the computer for the service today. So what do? I get up, I fill up. I ain't even finished my tea. I got some herbal tea I'm drinking right here, some herbal tea. And I says, matter of fact, it got back cold. I said, I'm going to get up. wash my face, brush my teeth, and get some tea. Get some breakfast. You know, the moment that I fill that thing out and decide to run the scriptures, go over the scriptures, that I come awake, I become awake, fully awake, and energetic. Why? Because obedience is better than sacrifice. And when you obey the Lord, you take one step, God will take two. You take two steps, God will take four. A lot of time we let everything stop us from walking in that path. The path is straight and it's narrow. It is straight and it's narrow. And all you got to do is get on it. Get on that path. God don't go no crooked paths. He don't walk crooked. He walks straight and narrow. Straight and the path is narrow. So Paul says, listen, for he that is dead is free from sin. See, we ought to be working towards putting his flesh under subjection. For would get on your best nerve. I tell people all the time, stop giving people a piece of your mind. And he said, I'm going to give her peace. Wait till I see that sister. Wait till I see that brother. I'm going to give him who he think he is talking to. Who she thinks she is talking to me like that. I'm going to give her peace of my mind. And then you wonder why we got so many crazy people in the house of the Lord. Because every time they're giving away a piece of their mind. I ain't giving nobody a piece of my mind. If you don't can't stand me that, and something, that's your problem. I'm going to continue doing what I'm doing, you know. And if I make a mistake, I tell you I'm sorry. If you don't want to accept it, that's up to you. But I'm sorry from my heart, you know. I'm sorry from the center of my heart, not the bottom, from the center of my heart. I apologize. No, he said, look, now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Excuse me. If we have given our heart truth, are completely to Christ Jesus, and we say, Lord, I give you my mind, I give you my heart, I give you my soul. Lord, help me to take control over this body. Help me to take control over my town. I did a message some years, a couple times I did it. Maybe two times, two or three times. Control your town and you'll control your destiny. That was the title of the message. It's still on you. It's on Blog Talk Radio. It's in the archives. You can go on the archives, download it anytime and listen. Control your tongue, you'll control your destiny. Where let family members, uncle, aunt, brother, sister, mother, father, daughter, son, where let them take, we allow them to take us out of our walk, out of our loving kindness, of our godly mindset, and we'll act the way they expect us to act. Stupid, idiotic. We don't try to take control. Once they say the wrong thing that agitate our flesh, here we goes off like a bulldog. We run off like a pit bull. Want to cut up something, want to tear something down, want to cut somebody up, want to knock somebody over. Why? Because we are still looking back at who we used to be. I'm talking about Yahweh GPS leads to positive results. You can say God positive systems leads to positive results. If we follow the blueprint of this Bible, this is God. We call it basic instructions before leaving earth, the Bible. If we follow this from Genesis to Revelation, don't just pick up what sounds good or feels good or tastes good to you, but follow this thing from Genesis to Revelation, the good, the bad, whatever, because the Bible got good in it and it got bad in it. It's all in here. What not to do and what to do. It's in here, good and bad. Do good and don't do the bad. It's in the Bible. But we'll pick up what talks about prosperity. We'll take about you can have this and have that. We'll take all that stuff. But we don't want to look at the stuff what God said don't do. Remember the Garden of Eden? They have access to everything. God gave them access to all four prayers. I'm talking about Adam and Eve. They have access to everything, only what God says, don't do this. Don't do that. Don't you eat up that tree of good and evil. God had to send them out because if they had ate from the tree of life, they would never die. And they would become as gods. He had to put them out. They could live there forever. But once they made that mistake of disobedience, it didn't matter what they do after them. Couldn't move God. Because God, all God requires of us is obedience. That's all he requires. We can write checks. So when the bishop says he wants some money for build a church, an extended room on the church or building, oh, we gonna take our gold credit card and take the platinum supply. Bishop, I wanna sell $2,500, $2,000, $4,000. It's how much we can afford. We can put it, and especially if we are doing good and we're entrepreneurs. Oh, Bishop, I'm gonna give $10,000, $15,000. I know this, because I was in the church where there were a lot of entrepreneurs and they would do that. And they look good to the pastor. And the pastor would get up on the microphone and says, you know, brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so give $10,000. They give $1,500. The next one give $3,000 and stuff. But the ones that give $25 or $50 or $10 or $15, they don't say a word about. But guess what? Those folk in the church cutting up like demons in the church. And pastor would not bring any type of correction to them so that they can live for eternity. I read you, strive even if you fall short. For we all, the Bible says we all sin and fall short of God, of the glory of God. But then just focus on giving. You know, when I ask when somebody have need. I know when I ask some people, you know, God always supplies my needs. I don't tell people what I'm going through. Because they look at me and say, well, you got money. He drive a Cadillac Escalade. God give that to me. He do this, he do that. I don't boast about that stuff. When I boast on God. Because everything I have, everything that I do is because of him keeping me strong and healthy at my age. But when you see me ask some blog talk, really, it's because the poor is in need. The widow is in need. The orphans is in need. The homeless is in need. That's what I ask. And I suppose that many people called me for prayer. Many, many people over the years. Folk called me and said their cousin is dying from this, and this is sister dying from this, and the brother dying from this. Called me from over the years. I've left and go on a trip to go to Virginia to go in the hospital to pray for a sister. She's dying with 65 pounds soaking wet. You can see the bones sticking out in the cheekbone. And I went in there, and the Lord showed me the death angel in the room and command that angel to death demon to leave that room. Anoint that woman, had her sister anoint her places that I wouldn't put my hand at certain places I don't touch women. You know, even when I'm preaching in the house of the church building. And I came back to Boston a couple of weeks. The sister told me, she says, well, Pastor, she said, my sister got put back on all her weight. She got some fresh teeth because her teeth would fall out from smoking crack cocaine and stuff. And she looked so good. She's not dying. She's alive. She saw this stuff all so many times that I've done ads, posts on Facebook to help the poor. She ain't never sent $10, $5 to help the poor. Not to help me, help the poor. I pay for this line every month. Every month. I don't ask people to pay for this line. I pay for it every month because I want to do what God said. David said he was going to build a house for God. He wasn't going to let nobody give him stuff to build a house. He said, I'll buy everything to build a house for God. I couldn't get a conference line for free. I know how to go in there and download the conference app thing for the conference line for free. But I said, I didn't want that. I didn't want, God has done so much, is doing so much for me. I didn't want to have a ministry that's free. I want to have a ministry that I have to pay for because it means that it would have some importance to me. You know, people say, I don't feel like going on the line today. I don't feel like opening the line today because it's a free line. But if they were paying every month, if it was coming out their bank account every month, guess what? They would open the prayer line so people come and pray. They would open the prayer line so people can come and hear a word from God. But because of the free conference line, they go when they feel like. They shut it down when they feel like. But if I shut down this line, I still got to pay. Unless I call Blog Talk people and say, well, look, I'm eliminating Blog Talk altogether. I'm through with it. But if I shut it down for 2 weeks, I still got to pay. I still got to pay. So I got to get on here. I got a reason to get here. He said, Paul says here in Romans chapter 6, verse 9, he says, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. So now this thing is that now says that we are living for Christ and living unto Christ, we ought to live unto righteousness, unto holiness. We ought to be striving. As I always say, we're not perfect. Don't let the devil beat you up when you fall short. Get up, brush your behind off, and say, Lord, I'm so sorry. David was, God said he was a man after his own heart. And I kept saying to myself when I first was hearing the preacher, David is a man after God's heart, and God loved David. And if they would be hooping, I said, why would God love David so much? Why? When he was an adulterer, he was a murderer, all of this stuff, a blasphemer, everything. I said, why would God love him? And then after studying the Psalms and the book of Samuel and Kings and studying of David and the Chronicles, I said, whoa, David had a heart of repentance. This is why God loved him so much. So what I'm saying is that if you happen to have to have a cold beer or a drink, I'm not giving you a license to drink or sin or something. If you do something that's contrary to the manuscript, don't let the devil hold you there and accuse you of what you did. Go and tell the Lord. Lord already know. You can't hide nothing from him. We can't hide nothing from him. Hide from your husband. Hide from your wife. Hide from your supervisor, your boss, your sister, brother. But you can't hide from yourself. You can't hide from God. You know, whenever we sin, two people know right off hand. God, number one, and you, number two. God knows. He knows even before we sin. He said, while we yet thinking, he already know what we're going to do. While we just thinking, that way he said, even if a man think of having intercourse with a woman, a woman having intercourse with a man, but know they're having intercourse with women, the same sex and stuff. He said, they're already sinning their mind. They're already sinning inside their soul because they talked about it, they was thinking about it. And you know what the devil said? Since they've been thinking about it, you better already go ahead and do it. Well, that's up to you. But here Paul says, for in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon you also yourselves to be dead. Indeed, unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. See what Paul saying? We got to see ourselves as dead to sin. But the world is causing this thing to show up so much in our presence that we don't see ourselves dead, being dead or dying to sin. All we see ourselves, as soon as they're Mardi Gras, we want to go and shake our stuff. We call it carnival. You call it Mardi Gras here. In our country, we call it carnival. It's the same thing. The women dress up half naked and the men half naked. They're all up there in the street, painted up, painted their head, and got the feathers and all that stuff and all this stuff all over them. And they're shaking their stuff. They got skimpy underwear on the street, you know, costumes. And they're looking. And some of these people that are out there are people that are saying that they are saved and sanctified. And they're in there where they're smoking the marijuana and they're starting the cocaine and they claim they're having a good time. And then when Sunday morning comes, they go up in the house of the Lord and say they're praising God. Why? Because they have not counted themselves dead to sin. They're having orgies and all of this kind of stuff is going on because they have not counted themselves dead to sin because this thing made them feel good. Two men and one woman, two women and one man, and all of this stuff is jumping around and stuff. It makes them feel good because they have not counted themselves dead to sin. So since they have a stronghold on us, here, in Philippians chapter 3, Paul is stretching this thing so awesome. Let me go in here, man. I got this sermon in my Bible. Oh, my God. Paul is just stretching this thing because Paul wants to know. He wants to know Christ. He wants to know him. He wants to know the suffering of the Lord. Paul wants to know this thing. It is important to him. Understand? It ought to be important, just as important to us, if not more, that we want to know him. I'm living my life to satisfy him because he died so that I could have this life that we all talk about. Because that he lived, he died for us, we ought to be eager to live for him. But you know what? We want to please our associates. They said, "Well, let's go. Let's go and do this. Let's do that. Let's do. You know, we want to do what feels good. It feels good." Now, one of the things that happened here, let's go into Genesis chapter 19. See, Paul said that he forget those things in Philippians chapter 3, those things that are behind him. We have a problem, and I said it in the message early. We find it difficult to even appreciate where we are right now. Because it's very difficult for us to leave where we were. The man that just walked out of our life, the woman that just walked out because she found a younger man, or the woman found a younger man, and the man found a younger woman. We find it difficult to deal with that situation. So we can't, what did I do wrong? You didn't do nothing wrong. The Negro just wants to find something, want to do something to suffice his flesh. She's finding somebody that make her feel better. You didn't do nothing wrong. So we can't even enjoy the present state that we're in. But we want to get to another dimension, which is called the future, and we can't get there because it's hard to leave the past. And if we can't leave the past, how are we going to deal with the present? You see, so we are stuck somewhere in between. And Paul says, brethren, I count not myself to be apprehended. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching onto those things which are before. He said, I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul wants to know Jesus. He wants to know him better than he know him. When Lot and his wife was in Sodom and Gomorrah, they had a problem. Lot's wife had a problem. See, if she was walking and holding her husband's hand, she would hear the instructions of her husband. We're leaving this place. There's nothing in this place that we need. God has commanded us to leave this place, that he's going to destroy this place, and we don't have to look at it. We don't concern about it. We have what we need with us. We're going to start fresh. Here, the Bible says, but his wife looked back behind him, and she became a pillar. She was consumed as salt. Genesis chapter 19, verse 26. Lot's wife did not merely look back. She dragged her heels from Sodom to Zoar. Dawdling and wasting time. By conducting herself in this way, she gave a mistakable evidence that her heart did not believe what the angel had said to her. God would not really destroy all of their possessions. So she reluctantly left Sodom because she loved the world, not having the faith. What is happening to us as believers? We proclaim to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. But listen to what I'm saying. We proclaim to know him as Lord and Savior. But when it comes to his principles, the principles of living holy, living righteous, walking upright before him, we don't understand them. We don't even know them. We don't even investigate them because we are concerned of getting the prophetic message that says, I can have this and I can have that. We don't want to hear the word that says, you got to live holy because he's holy. We don't want to hear that. Because that's not my mindset. Paul said that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering being made conformable unto death. See, in order to know him in this kind of manner that Paul is, the apostle is seeking here,
We have to submit and commit our life totally to serving him, seeking him, finding him. He said, if you seek him with all your heart, mind, body, and soul, you'll find him. If you seek him. We find it hard seeking him because there's so much distractions. There's so many distractions in this world that we live in. The new cars. Every time you buy a car, 6 months you got a car, the car's awesome. When I bought this Cadillac here, 7 years old now, I have to go somewhere. The people say, man, your car's so nice. And I find it hard to just pamper with the car. The car's a car. I do everything to keep it right. I do all the work on it now. Then I come back from the design of the Lord, let me to get back here safe. I'm going to go underneath that car with my drilling machine. I got some brushes, and I'm going to clean the subframe, got a lot of rust from the salt. You know, we get a lot of salt here in the winter, and I'm going to brush it down. Then I got some stuff I'm going to spray underneath there to dissolve the rust and get some control over the rust. And I'm going to order some stuff from Amazon. I'm going to spray paint the whole subframe, you know, suspension, all that stuff I'm going to spray. But because I got to keep it, because God gave it to me, and I got to keep it good. But there's so much stuff. Look, I bought this cell phone here a little over a year ago. I ain't well get the cell phone because the other one was messing up. And well get this cell phone. I had the cell phone home maybe 2 months. Here they come up with a brand new one right after. This is the Galaxy 10 Plus. And they came up with something 20. I said, my God, you can't even get something. You buy one dress, the new style, the model and style for this year, and the colors that they're using. And as soon as you get that dress or that suit home, the new style of alligator, crocodile shoes or whatever you like, soon as you get them home, Oxford shoes or whatever, you get them home. You can well wear them one or two times. They got a new style, new leather look, new suit, new dress look, new wig style, all this stuff to do. Why? Because the world system is to keep you focused on the world system. That's what the world system is all about, to keep us focusing on the world and not on God. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things will be added on to you. We're so focused. Lot's wife could not leave Sodom. She was too focused on the lifestyle of Sodom, the thing that they were doing. You know, people with men living with, sleeping with men, women with women, all the stuff that's happening now. You already said, but what goes around comes around. What comes around goes around. However they say, you know. But that's what's happening now. When I was growing up and I was here in the early 70s, we used to wear them tight shirts with silk shirts with John Travolta shirt, Saturday Night Live shirts, silk shirts, tight to your skin, like skin tight. And then you had the pants come off from top, from your waist tight, and then go down to bell bottoms. All that stuff is back in fashion now, and the young people think it's so hot. The bell bottom pants and the tight shirts. Well, that's because things are going around in a circle, and sin is doing the same thing. And sin makes, the world makes sin looks good, but they're making Christianity look like it's so bad because we don't want them to enjoy themselves. But it's not about enjoyment. It's about eternity. That's what we're concerned about. I was on my way to burst hell wide open from the crack house, from the whole house. Hallelujah. And if I don't really focus out, I'll still bust it open. You too. That's why I got to stay in this world every day. And every day I got to wake up with repentance on my heart. Got to wake up asking God to forgive me because I somewhere in my mind I saw something. Somewhere in my mind I was thinking something. And I got to ask God forgiveness. Ask God mercy and grace upon me that I don't be taken up with that thought in my mind. Hallelujah. So this has two different applications of our lives. In Luke chapter 17, Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. He said that she sought to save her life, but lose it. The first lesson is that when the time comes to flee, flee. Do not look back. This is corroborated by Matthew 24 and 17. And Mark chapter 13, write these scriptures down as I go. And Mark chapter 13 and 15, look at these things for yourself. Okay? The first one you look at is, start, read Genesis chapter 19 and talks about Lot and his wife and his two daughters and his son-in-laws and the angels. It talks about that. All of that's in the book. Here, write down Luke 17 and 32, Matthew 24 and 17, Mark 13 and 15. In Jesus' Olivet prophecy, he said, let him who is on the housetop not come down. Jesus meant, get out of the city, flee. Do not look back. Do not get any of your possessions. Leave. Jesus mean that. You ever seen people trying to go back into burning houses because the cat is in the house? They're not even concerned about their lives. They say, well, I'm going in the house because I got to get my cat. I got to get my fire key. Or I got a picture of my husband. I got a picture of my mama. My mama crossed over. Where do you go back in the house to get that picture of your mama and then a beam that is burning from both sides drop and trap you in the room? The firemen can't even get to you and you get burned up in the house. Then the people would say, oh, he was so foolish. He went back in the house because he told somebody outside, I'm going back in there to get the picture of my mama. I'm going to get the picture, my wife and my family picture, family portrait. And died in the house. Jesus said, "When you don't come down, leave the city." Lot's wife could not leave Sodom and Gomorrah because her heart was still there, and she wanted to be in there where the people was dancing, fornicating, committing adultery, having orgies, drinking and drugging, and having a good time. So she thinks she wanted that lifestyle. The second lesson is that saving one's life also pertains to one's way of life and a manner of living. It includes one's hopes, dreams, aspirations, traditions, attitudes, and relationships. All of these have come from this world, which forms and makes us what we are, often in opposition to God, Romans chapter 8, verse 7. This is why John warns in 1 John 2 and 15, to love not the world. The world is cosmos, a system apart from God, being organized and regulated upon false principles and false values. This is the world. It looks good to you out there in the world. It looks good to us, but it doesn't mean it's any good. It looks good to us because it is to entice us to do the thing that is contrary to what God requires. God is requiring holiness. Now we are praying for healing from God. But yes, still we want to live a sinful lifestyle, but we pray to a holy God. You understand what I'm saying? Well, I'm not saying that you're going to get everything, you're going to cross every T and dot every I, because I don't. I really want to, but I don't. And I'm sure you don't either. But we ought to be striving every day to cross more T's today and dot more I's today than we did yesterday. That should be our objective. Lot's wife only focus was her niece. Not her daughter's niece and not her husband leave. Jesus said in 1 John 2 and 15, love not the world. The world is cosmos, a system apart from God, being organized and regulated upon false principles and false values. It has made us what we are before God called us, requiring our repentance and conversion. Now the world had us doing the things that was contrary to the God system, God positive system. This is what we need to get back to Yahweh GPS, or God positive system. Because God positive system, or Yahweh positive system, I'm talking about Yahweh GPS, leads to
positive results.
Now it may look difficult when we are following God's system, because it seems like everybody else is having a great time, a grand time, but we are, it looked like we stuck on stupid. So they ain't having no good time. Every time the church building door open, they're at the church. They go to Sunday school, go to Bible study, midweek service. They're at the church Sunday morning. Oh, they're praying. They're even singing in the choir now. Do you know they're singing on the praise team? They're playing the tambourine. No. Seems like you're not having a good time. But I tell you something. Man, I have a grand time serving the Lord. I really do. And I know when I call upon him, he answered me. I have a grand time. And God supplied all. Let science, remember the word sets you up to live this contrary life. But like science, conversion tells us there cannot be a vacuum in life. When we are swept clean by God's forgiveness and his Holy Spirit, something must be done to keep it clean, holy, and separated from the world. No man can serve two masters, Matthew chapter 6 and 24. And therefore, loyalty cannot be given with neutrality. It will either be God or the world. The way to God was open to Lot's wife because of her husband conversion. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 13 to 14. The problem was that she failed to take advantage of all the privileges that were given to her. She dropped the ball. The lesson is to whom much is given, much is required. What God has given to us, God expects us to do something with it. If God called you out to be a deacon, an usher, a minister, an evangelist, a teacher, a pastor, whatever, God expects you to do something with it. God does not expect you to take the ball and sit down with the ball in your lap. I'm using that analogy. If God called you to be a basketball player, he expects you to get with the team. Because nobody plays the basketball by themselves. I mean, a guy might go there and shoot some hoops by himself trying to get the gist of it, you know. But eventually he's going to team up with four or five other guys so they can have a game, you know, and play against each other. See who wins, who compete with each other. So once you get this ball of being saved and sanctified, you want to connect with a team that can teach you, can help you to get to the place that you need to be to do the work of the kingdom. I'm giving you a lot of stuff today. We must remember Lot's wife, for never has so much opportunity been given to really know God through his word than has been given to the end time church. Yet, when Christ asks, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Luke chapter 18 and 8. The question requires each of us to answer individually. Will he find faith in us? In other words, will you still be living a life that give God glory? Will your life be the light for someone else to see Christ? Will your life be the book that someone else will want to read? Or the pages in your book are distorted? Think about it. Because somebody, somewhere, a family member, a co-worker, a neighbor is reading your book. It's reading my life. Your life. I remember before my friend from Brazil, he had to leave the place because the man was raising the rent. The townhouse rent too much, too high. And he left. And he got ordained as a pastor about 3 years ago. 3 years. Yes, about 3 years. But his wife was sick. She had some some spinal infection, and she couldn't go up the stairs. She's upstairs in the downstairs townhouse. Two-car garage. And he never heard me preach. But he'd been reading my life. That's what I'm telling you. And he came over to my house and he said, Pastor, you don't mind coming over to my house and praying for my wife? She said she can't go upstairs. The bedroom's upstairs. But she can't go upstairs. There's too much pain. So I said, yes, I'll go over there. I'll come over there. So I walked over there. Yeah, that's so and so from my house. So I walked over there. She's laying on the sofa on the first floor. I go to the garage, go to the pastor kitchen, laundry room, and I go, she's laying there on the couch. The stairs is right there to her right to go up the stairs. She can't walk up the stairs, too much pain. So we anointed her. First I asked her, do she believe Jesus will heal her, because I can't heal nobody. I'm just a vessel. He spoke to her, because, you know, I speak fast, and everybody don't understand every word that I say unless I slow down, really. And I'm not as fast as my daughter, because my daughter, she's from Barbados, too, but she spent a lot of time with the Caribbean island people, you know, so her accent is still 100 times as strong as mine. I had to slow down because I work out in the public with the people, and I had to slow down for their understanding. So he would translate for her. And she said, yes, I believe. I anoint her. And I said, well, I tell him, anoint her heart and so on. And pray for her. And I tell her what the Lord says. Well, he come back. Tell me, he said, the next, he says, my wife was able to go up the stairs tonight. The pain was gone. She's doing this and doing that. I said, well, praise glory to God. Do you know, he told his pastor, he never heard me preach. And his pastor was going to have a revival at the church. And the opening night, they wanted me to start the service. There's two nights that I always consider really important in revivals. And that's, I mean, every night is very important, but I always consider the opening night and the ending night. Because you want people to remember what God says. Through the servants. He had me to the pastor said, yeah, the pastor come and open the service, so I start the service. And I have all of these sermons in my computer. So I got a lot of folders filled with sermons. So I got a folder and I got the computer. So I'm going to use my computer, my iPad, and I give the translator because, you know, I'm going to flow in the spirit and I'm going to flow fast. So I give the translator my folder. The sermon that I believe that I'm going to preach. I believe I'm going to preach this sermon, and I give him. When I get on the altar of the Lord, the Holy Spirit showed up in such a fire, with such fire. Everything changed. I can't preach the word. You hear me? I cannot preach it. The Holy Spirit said, no, this is where you're going. This is what you're going to do. This is what you're going to do. And I couldn't preach. I told the guy, I said, put that book down, put it down, and just flow with me. As the Holy Spirit leads. And I can't use a computer. I'm just flowing in the Spirit. People are at the altar crying and boo-hooing because the Holy Ghost is there. He is there doing what only he does best, touching his people. What am I saying? When you follow the leading of God, you're gonna get to that place. You're going to have the results that you're looking for. God's going to allow you to experience the results. But we find it difficult to fight. We're giving everybody around us. We got them family members and co-workers. We got friends and associates around us doing what they want to do. Don't be distracted. Don't let the world take you out. You know? Let it be your choice, but don't let the world take you out. Friends will take you places. Lot's wife did not merely look back. She dragged herself. I told you that. There's an over arching subject that Jesus never directly mentioned in the context of Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 to 21. But he was undoubtedly concerned about it. See, Jesus always give us the body, his body, what we desire. He puts it here in the manuscript for us so that we can live this life that glorifies the Father. But we find it very, very difficult because the principles that he laid down for us, sometimes they seem hard, but they're the right ones. We don't want to follow. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 21, verse 19 to 21, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moths and rust does corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moths nor thieves does corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. This is such a powerful sermon right here. Because we are so consumed with this world system that we are trying to get more and more and more and more, knowing that when we leave here, we can't take anything with us. And the thing that we ought to be going after, we don't go after. And that is to get a better understanding of who Christ is, like Paul says in Philippians 3 and 10. We ought to be seeking to know him, going after him like never before. On my, you know, when I was getting some business cards pertaining to ministry, the first thing that came in my spirit was that scripture, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed unto death. Being conformable unto death. That scripture jumped off the page. I said, that's what I want on my ministry card. Because you have to have, you and I, we ought to have this desire, this hunger and thirst for righteousness. We want to be filled, but we don't have a hunger for God. But he was undoubtedly concerned about it. No one ever had a clearer understanding of human realities than Jesus. This subject concerns two levels of divergence. Two levels of divergence. From what is proper within achieving a desire, and the first being minor compared to the second. We are trying to build big homes, get the fanciest cars, the best Rolex watch or the most expensive Rolex watch, the best diamond rings, the biggest, you know, the bigger the rock, the more the woman think you love her. And the guy said, well, I'm going to get her big rock. And they might consummate the marriage three or four times. And after the first 6 months in the marriage, you realize that he's not coming home. After 18 months, you have to text him 100 times a day, 10 times a day, trying to, when are you coming? What time are you going to come home? Where you are? You got the big rock on your finger, but it's not in his heart. And it's not about the ring. I noticed that as I was reading the Bible and studying the Bible, I haven't heard of any of the people getting married in the Bible with getting the ring on their finger. People go over it and say, well, I don't want a cheap ring. I want an expensive diamond. I want a big diamond. Women tell you that. And you see that all these people, the movie stars, they have these $1 million and $2 million rings. And their marriage lasts for 18 months, 2 years, 3 years. The ring don't keep you married. It's love, respect for each other, desire for each other. First thing is that humanly, we can become so deeply involved in achieving an especially desired goal that we become inattentive to virtually everything else, including God. Some refer to it as losing oneself in the moment. We can be thankful that these kinds of divergence generally do not last long. We usually catch ourselves within them and redirect our efforts accordingly. How many serious accidents have been caused by this type of distraction is beyond knowing. The second concern is far more damaging to our calling. We allow our human nature to re-enslave us to this world. This return to carnal happens. This return to carnality happens when we fail to discipline ourselves daily. We fail to maintain our focus on the absolute fact that what really matters in our lives are glorifying God and attaining spiritual values in our character. We must put everything else in second, third, or fourth place in order of importance. No one can do this for us. We must do it ourselves. Solomon writes in Ezekiel, in Ecclesiastes, verse 9, chapter 9, verse 10, whatever you your hands find to do, do it with your might. For there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going. His counsel, valuable within its context, applies in space to all calling. The context does not delve into the fact that not all things a person desires works for are of equal value. Herein lies another reality that we must resolve, because heavenly treasures and earthly treasures are not equally important, especially after God called us. The proper balance of the time and effort we give to seeking treasure must be an important companion to determining our priorities in what treasures we seek. Once God calls a person, it's called a new effort with far greater, more important goals has entered his life. And see, when God called us, when God called us out of darkness into his light, we ought to develop a new mindset, a new focus, hallelujah, a new perspective of what we're supposed to do. Because we no longer are being the same person. We look the same, smell the same, may taste the same, but in spirit, we are different. So we have to start seeing things different and doing. Sometimes we have to really step away from friends and family members in order to fulfill the calling. The called out individual must never allow himself to forget that the Creator God personally and especially called him. He is not among the elect by accident or stroke of luck. We must add to this astounding truth what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. We said the scripture earlier. To those God called, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. This burning dedication to the same goals that God has called us to must accompany the call out person's efforts to be a profitable servant. Without this characteristic, we can be Christ busy accomplishing, but useless. But unless we are also deeply committed to what God is focused on for us to achieve, we will merely burn time without achieving much of value in terms of God's spiritual purpose. God wants us to give our time and life purposefully over to attain his kingdom. Merely being busy and productive are not the only issues. Being focused on what God assigns work hand in glove with what one's treasure is. Matthew chapter 6 and 24. Just a few verses later, God gives us a significant reason why. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. The reason may escape the reasoning of many, but Jesus clearly warns that giving our lives over to the achievement of the things of this world is blatant idolatry for a Christian. Do we truly want to place ourselves in the position of hating God or even loving him less than something else? The things of this world are those things God has not assigned to the Christian life. Unlike those in the world, few call out ones fall into such calamity. But some do and find themselves re-enslaved in the world by it. Such a person will be so preoccupied with gathering his worldly treasures that his cue focus will confuse his value. His achievement in that area of life will obscure the goal God has established for our personal existence. The human heart will follow the carnal influence rather than the godly one. We must make diligent effort to avoid this trap, because the world acts like a magnet, always trying to recapture what has been pulled from it. God is saying this to us. We have to get our mind right. When I come back, I want to go a part two of this message. Why would John say such a thing if it were not possible for us to be disloyal to the family of God, to God himself, and to the way of God? Within us still dwells an attraction for the world and for Satan. It is something we must constantly fight and put down. You see, this flesh that we have is constantly working against the call of God upon your life. In 1 John chapter 2, this is the last scripture I'm going to give you, and I'm going to get out of here. 1 John chapter 2, let's read verse 15 to, I think I had, what did I put in there? 15 to, 1 John chapter 2, 15 to 17. I got it in my book. 1 John chapter 2. You can read this whole book. I'll tell you, this whole, the epistles of John from 1, 2, and 3, you can read them all. They are so good, these epistles of John. You can read them there. They will help you in your Christian walk. I tell you, this apostle was so powerful. Here in John chapter 1
First John chapter 2, verse 15 to 17. He said, love not the world, excuse me, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Listen to what John is saying. If we are going after the things of the world, these things are going to pass away. This is what John is saying. We might accumulate a lot of stuff. A lot of materialistic things we may accumulate. And we do. You have so much stuff. This is what you see. I watch the hoarders on TV. I don't know if you all ever watched the hoarders. And the people will accumulate so much stuff over the years that it become a death trap to them. I mean, they have stuff. And then when it gets to a place that the very house or home that they wanted now is at a place where they stand a chance of losing the home because of the things that they have accumulated over the years. And now the inspector will come and look at the home and say, well, you have one choice, and that is if you want to save your home, you have to get rid of some of the stuff that you have. And the people will be so trapped with having all that stuff that they don't want to get rid of the stuff. They will find all that they will save from time to, I got to save my home, and I want this home to stay in the family. And maybe it was a family heirloom they had from the parents, and the father had to get the home, or the mother got the home, and now accomplished all this stuff, and they got boxes from floor to ceiling, from ceiling to floor. And when the inspectors come and look at the home, they say, well, we want to work with you, but you have to make a decision to clean up this house. And all the mold is on the wall and the ceilings and everything. You got to take out some of the sheetrock and put in new sheetrock and paint the place fresh so you can get rid of the mold. Now the people, they will make a decision that they want to do this stuff. But then as the people come with a big dumpsters and trucks and stuff and want to get rid of stuff, they would say, no, I can't get rid of that. They're so attached to this stuff. They say, I can't let that go. You want to go side dog? I had this stuff for so long. I can't let this go. And they were pleading for the people. But no, you can't touch that. No, I want that. Well, that's what the world does. The world shows up in your life and have you still want to go back to the same old stinking vomit like a dog, and you don't want to let go. That man has treated you so bad. That woman has misused you. She has made you to become the laughing stock of your neighborhood. Cheating on you and doing this, and he's doing this stuff to you. Still want to go back with him. Still want to speak with him. Still want to invite him to your home. Still want to go out to dinner with her. No. Because the world is showing you this. But God says, I come that you would have life and have it more abundantly. I want to show you a new way of living, a new style to live, that you could be peaceful. You could have peace in your heart. No. You still want to go back. You still want to go back. I'm talking about in this message, the Yahweh or God GPS system leads to positive results. If we follow God's instructions, it don't always feel good. I was just going to tell the truth. It don't always feel good doing what God said to do. It don't always feel good, but it's good. Every time you take medicine, it don't taste good to you. Some medicine don't taste good. Sometimes you got to get a shot. The shot don't feel good going in your arm or your behind, but it's good for you. If you don't take it, you feel worse. You get worse. And sometimes even after taking the shot, it get worse before it get better.
But you got the ticket. And for, to walk for God, sometimes it don't feel so good. Walking for the Savior, walking for Him, living for Him. You know, you're living for God, and what happens is you find yourself losing friends, associates, co-workers, family members. Nobody want to talk with you. Nobody want to fellowship with you. Because why? You so gung-ho for God. You sold up for the kingdom. You want to be closer to God. God is moving in your life. You're starting to experience the touch, the feeling of God, and you started to experience His presence. You feel His presence, and you start to, you can weep because you know that God is touching you. Hallelujah. And folks say, I don't want to be wrong her. I don't want to be wrong him. Because guess what? He's too holy. Well, it's better to be holy than to be sinful. I'd rather you call me holy rose than call me the one that sends the dope peddler. And or call me the this or the that, that's contrary. And folks don't want to be called a holy ruler. They don't want to call a Jesus freak. But what about somebody calling you a prostitute or a gangbanger, a dope peddler, you know, calling your names that's not in the book. You want to be satisfied with that? Well, call me a holy ruler anytime. I give you that objective, that chance. Call me a holy ruler. Say that, David. Man, he's a holy ruler. I love it. That means that I'm striving. I'm not there yet, but I'm striving to live for God. Striving to live for him. People don't say, I don't want nobody to call me a holy ruler. And call me holy ruler all day long. All day long. That don't mean that I'm perfect, though. I tell you that all the time. I'm not perfect, but call me a holy ruler. Because that means I'm on the right track. I'm on the right track, and I'm not turning back. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this word. Lord, you just blessed me and put a smile on my face today again, Lord. Oh, God, just to deliver this message today, God, as you give it to us today. Lord, we thank you for touching all those that got touched today by this word. And, Father, I ask that you continue to watch over all those that are striving to walk correct before you, Lord. They don't have it all together, just like I don't have it all together, but they're striving, Lord. And I thank you for giving them the strength that they so earnestly desire to have, that they might serve you with a pure heart, Lord Jesus. Give them the strength that they need, Lord. Continue to fight for them as they endeavor to walk for you through this crooked world. We pray, Father God, now that you illuminate them with your presence, God. Cause them to shine. Cause them to glow. Cause them to glow with your anointing upon their lives. We pray, Father God, today that you continue to heal Prophetess Misha. Lord, that you continue to heal Prophetess Amelie's sister. You continue to heal Bishop James Washington. And Lord, we ask that you continue to heal Apostle Linda Washington's eyes, oh God, and strengthen her joints, oh God. We know, God, that you're doing what you said you would do. That's why we call on you, Lord. Not that we call in any doubt, because we don't doubt what you say. What you say yea and amen. And Father, we just thank you right now. We thank you for touching all of those under the sound of my voice that need a touch in their body, that need healing, oh God. And those that don't know you, Lord, draw them to you, Lord. You said no one can come to you except you draw them. I ask you, Father God, in the precious name of Jesus, to draw souls to you today all over the world, from Africa to India to China to Japan to Pakistan, Iraq, Iran, all over the world. Draw people to you, Lord. Draw them to you. Draw them to you. Says, not by power, not by might, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. I ask you to draw souls to you today, Lord. Draw them to you that men might come and say, what must I do to be saved, Lord? Let them hear your voice. Let them experience your anointing, O God. We ask, Father, today in the name of Jesus, Lord God, that you move in our midst, continue to move in our midst, God. We need more of you and less of ourselves, O God. Holy Spirit, come and have your way. Have your way, Lord Jesus. Oh, speak to us and speak to us all the time we open our mouth, Lord. We want to know that it's you speaking to us, Lord God. When we open our ears, we want to hear your voice, Lord Jesus. Speak, Jesus, and we would answer, Lord.
Oh, God, call us and we will go, Lord. Call us and we will go, Lord Jesus. Lead and we will follow, Lord Jesus. Father, we just ask today that you heal people today. Heal today, Lord. That you restore today, Lord. That you strengthen today, Lord. God, move in our midst as always, Lord God. We ask you to stir up the gifts in us, O God, that folk will continue to know that we are yours, that we are moving by the Spirit, O God, that lives and dwells in us, O God. Lord, we just thank you right now, God. We thank you for salvation. We thank you for healing. We thank you for deliverance, oh God. We thank you for restoration right now, God. We thank you, Father God, for going into the crack house right now and bringing out that crack user, that crack dealer, Lord God. We thank you for going in the whole house and bringing out that prostitute, Lord God, for bringing out that fornicator, that adulterer, oh God, bringing out that abuser, oh God. We ask, God, that you set the captives free, the little boy, the little girl that's being caught up in the sex trafficking, oh God, and the sex trafficking and human trafficking. Lord, we ask to bring deliverance right now in the name of Jesus. That little boy and little girl that was kidnapped, oh God, we ask, God, for you to cause them to be set free without harm, oh God. Oh God, we're praying, Father God, in the name of Jesus for this, the United States of America, Father God. We are praying, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you begin to move in our nation, God. God, begin to stir up, oh God, stir up the power. Stir up the power of the light of God in this nation, oh God, that, oh God, that the captives will be set free, oh God. We pray, God, that you go into the prison cells, the jail cells, oh God, and loose those that are in bondage, loose those that are in captivated, oh God, that have been serving time, long time, and those that are in there, oh God, wrongfully, God, we ask you to cause them to be released right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we ask, oh Lord God, that you open doors that need to be opened and closed, keep doors closed that need to be closed right now in the name of Jesus. Father, move by your Spirit, God. Lord, we are depending on you. We have no one else to call upon. We have no one else to trust, Lord, but you, Lord God. No one else that we can call on but you, Lord. Without you, we are nothing, oh God. And God, we thank you right now. We thank you and praise you for your anointing. We thank you and praise you for your presence right now. For in your presence is the fullness of joy. And at your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. God, we just honor you right now. Father, we ask you, God, to go through the corridors of the hospital this morning. And God, as you go through the corridors of the hospital, begin to stop at room 1 or room 2, room 3, 2B and 2C and 2G. 2H and all those rooms, all the different numbers that they have, Lord, you know the numbers because you see them all. Go through the corridors with your angels, with the heavenly host, and begin to heal, begin to deliver, begin to restore right now. God, that one that they say is impossible to be healed, their cancer is so bad that it's impossible for them to heal stage 4 cancer. Oh, God, we come against that devil that say that he can take my sister out, your daughter out, your brother out, your son out. Lord, we come against it right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we come against that breast cancer. We come against the cancer of the bone. Oh, God, emphysema. We come against that emphysema in the lungs. We come against asthma. We come against bronchitis right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we come against brain tumors and lung cancer, breast cancer, liver cancer. Oh, God, colon cancer. Prostate cancer, God, we come against every form of cancer right now in the name of Jesus. Father, God, we come against eye cancer. People get cancer of the eye, in the ear. God, we come against it right now in the neck, God, yes, Lord. Oh, God, we come against any type of obstruction in the arteries right now. And we declare and decree, God, right now in the name of Jesus, that every artery is open and the blood is flowing freely. God, we thank you. We thank you for the blood flowing through our veins right now. In the name of Jesus, Father, we declare and decree, God, that you are girding us up, oh God, with strength. You're girding us up with power. You're girding us up with authority, oh God. We speak in authority. We speak in the power of the Most High God. God, we ask you to move by your Spirit, oh God. We ask you to continue to move. Continue to move, oh God, by your Spirit, oh God. Continue to
stir up that power that only come from you. Let it come down in the earth right now, God. You said that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, oh God. We ask, oh God, yes, Lord, that you would arise right now and let the enemy be scattered right now in the name of Jesus. Father, as the enemy comes in like a flood, we declare that the Spirit of the Lord is lifting up a standard for the saints, oh God, for this is the heritage of God's people. We ask you, God, to have your way in our midst, God. God, we can't have what we have want without you, Lord. We need you to have your way in our midst, oh God. We ask you to come in and touch us today. Touch the situation. Touch our circumstance in the name of Jesus. Lord Jesus, have your way. Have your way, Lord Jesus. We ask you to move. We praying for you to move, God. God, we are not going to move. We feel like Moses. We feel like Moses going to lead the children out. And Moses saying to you, Lord, if you don't go, he will not go. He says, show me your glory. Moses said, you don't see the glory, he will not go. And today, Lord, I ask you in the name of Jesus, so show me the glory. God, allow me to see the glory that comes from you, that anointing that you talk about in the book of Exodus, Lord God. Show me your glory, Lord God. Lord, I want to see men healing, men and women and boys and girls healing and delivered. God, I ask you to show up, Lord Jesus, as we seek your face, Lord. Let us see your power. Let us see your glory, Lord. Show up in the midst of all that's happening in this earth, friend, and have your way, Jesus. We want you to have your way. Lord, your way or no way at all. We want you to have your way, Jesus. We want you to touch today, Lord. Somebody is praying for their son to be saved. I hear you, Holy Spirit. Somebody is praying for their son or daughter to be saved today. Lord, I ask you to convict that child right now. Now, yes, they're over 30 years old, in their 30s, but Lord, I ask you to heal them right now. I ask you to heal them, to move by your Spirit, oh God. We ask you to move by your Spirit and heal, deliver, restore, God. Bring salvation, bring deliverance, bring restoration, God. Bring healing, God. Oh, mighty God, there's no one like you, God. You're the great high priest, oh God, the one that sit high and see low. God, we thank you and we praise you, oh God, for your majestic power, for your sovereign power, Lord God. We thank you for your sovereignty, oh God, right now in this earth realm, God. You are stirring up stuff right now. I thank you, Lord God, we come against the virus in this earth right now. We come against every scientist that is developing, oh God, these viruses to kill mankind. We come against them. Lord, we ask you to cripple their hands, that they will not be able to make anything that is destructive. Every time they decide to make something that is destructive, that would destroy mankind, we ask you to cripple them, God. Cripple them. God, put spiritual handcuffs on them, spiritual shackles on them, oh God, that they will not be able, oh God, to destroy mankind any more than they have already done. Lord, we pray today in the precious name of Jesus. God, we are lifting up marriages right now in the name of Jesus. And God, we ask you to touch, oh God, touch the strong man that is trying to destroy marriages, God. Touch him right now. And God, break that stronghold over marriages that is causing the marriages to dissolve, oh God, so easily. Oh God, without a fight, God. We're praying right now in the name of Jesus, oh God, for the children, Lord. We're praying for the children. And God, we pray right now in the name of Jesus, oh God, that you begin to touch our sons and daughters, touch our grandsons and granddaughters. God, we bring them before you right now. And we lay them at the foot of the altar. God, we pray that you let the blood that never lost its first estate to drip upon our children, drip upon our family members, drip upon our friends and even our enemies that don't know you. Let the blood drip upon them that they might be conformed. They might conform to you, Lord, and be transformed out of this world. Oh, God, we're praying right now in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Yes, Lord, I thank you, Father God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Lord, I ask that you touch President Biden, oh, God. Touch him and touch that Kamala, the vice president. Touch them, oh God, for the things that they're doing is destructive to this nation. And God, you know that they come against Christianity. Lord, we ask you, oh God, to touch them, God, because you see all. You see more than mankind see. So many people are blindfolded. So many people are walking around with blinders on their faces. Oh God, they think that because they get a check from stimulus, that it's all right. But they don't see that the people that these governmental officers, these ones in the high places, are trying to keep the people of color in bondage.
keep you in bondage, give you a check and keep you in slavery so you don't get up off your do nothing and become who you can be because you're dependent, waiting for a hand of God. I declare and decree in the name of Jesus, Father God, that you arrest these folk that are just trying to destroy this nation, oh God, by their satanic moves. Lord, Father God, I ask you right now in the name of Jesus that you dispatch angels, dispatch the heavenly host, oh God, to combat everything that Satan is trying to do to this nation that the world is looking at. Oh, Father, we ask you, oh God, they're coming and want them now to teach the children out in the schools all about homosexual. They say it's okay, how all about same-sex marriage, but God, we come against that lie. We come against that lie from the pit of hell. Oh, Father, because you created Adam and Eve, not Adam and Stephen. Father, we thank you right now in the name of Jesus. God, I declare and decree that this president will come down and the vice president will come down. They will not last out their terms in the name of Jesus. They will not last out their terms by fire or by force in the name of Jesus. They will not destroy this nation. This is our nation. This is our nation. And Christianity, the word of God will rise up. May we rise up, prophet and prophetess and evangelists and pastors and teachers and apostles will rise up and they will come up out of the dirt. They will come up out of the dirt and will come forth with power. They will come forth with righteousness and holiness in the name of Jesus. Father, we just thank you. Oh God, I ask you to save all those that call upon your name today. Anyone that call upon your name for salvation today that just repent and say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner in need of a Savior, and I need you to come into my heart. This simple prayer. So, Lord Jesus, I need you to come into my heart. I denounce Satan today. Oh, Lord, I've been living my life in sin. I've been doing what I choose, what I feel, how I feel to do it, and whenever, wherever, however. But, God, today I heard the word. I don't want to be like Lot's wife. I don't want to look back. I don't want to keep looking back at my past, Lord. I'm in the present. Lord, help me to see my present stance, oh God, that I might walk in, step out of my present and step into my future. Lord, I ask you to help me, oh God, to stop lying. Help me to stop being deceitful. Help me to stop being a con artist. Lord, help me, Lord, just to stop being what I shouldn't be. And help me to become what I need to be. Lord, I ask you to wash me. Wash me in your blood, the blood that flowed fresh from Calvary, that redemptive blood that cleansed, healed, delivered, and restored. God, wash me today, and I know I shall be whiter than snow. Cleanse me, oh God, and I shall be who you call me to be. Lord, I just thank you right now. I praise you, Lord Jesus. I honor you, Jesus, for what you have done and what you will do. If you just pray that prayer, uncommon prayer, that's the way the Lord took me today. You just received the gift of salvation. Now you want to call up a pastor, preacher, teacher, say, I received the gift of salvation according to Acts 2:38, and I want to be baptized in Jesus' name. You have repented for your sins, and you ask God to come, and he came in. Now you want to be baptized according to Acts 2:38 and according to Mark chapter 15, Mark chapter 16 and verse 16. And invite your friends, your family members, your co-workers, anybody you can invite, even your enemies, and tell them you invite to your baptism. This is the final stage of your salvation, where you go down the water and you die to self in Jesus' name. And you come back alive out of the water in Jesus' name. And then if they don't baptize in Jesus' name, don't get mad and leave the church or the place and call the people names. Leave on a good word and find a pastor that will baptize you in Jesus' name according to Acts 2:38. And when you get baptized, after you get baptized, seek out for a church that's preaching and teaching the gospel and get yourself involved in ministry. Do something. You're not going to preach right away, but you got to start somewhere. Find something to do. There's always something. There's lots, so many ministries in the church. There's so much ministries in the body of Christ. Find one of the ministries. Maybe you can have the ministry to just call people and see how they're doing. Ministry of Health. Ministry of Administration. There's many ministries in the body. Call people and say, can I do something? Can I come and visit you at the hospital? You might be the one that he sends to the hospital to go visit the sick and just comfort them.
Maybe one that visit the nursing homes or family sick and shut in and comfort them in their homes. You may be that one. That's ministry. You may be the one that he used to vacuum the church building and set up the chairs and so on. You may be the one. That's ministry. Everybody want to be behind the holy desk. Everybody want to get behind the desk and preach the gospel. But nobody wants to do the little jobs that put the ministry together, keep the ministry together. It takes a lot of stuff, a lot of doing to hold the ministry together. And somebody got to do it. I did it for a long time. I still do it, but I still do a lot of stuff. Okay? God bless you all that receive the gift of salvation. And I pray that many other people, as we go on in life, and people going back to the page, receive the gift of salvation. God bless you all. I see Mother Grant on the line. Come on in, Mother Grant. Come on in and read.
Good morning, good afternoon. God bless everybody on the line. God bless the word that came forth. Now I didn't get to listen to it. But my reading is say, grace growth in. This is my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. John 15:8. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and deep depths of insight. Philippians 1:9. We ought to always to thank God for you, brothers, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more. And the love every one of you has for each other is increasing. 2 Thessalonians 1:3. Finally, brother, we instructed you how to live in order to please God. As in fact you are living, now we ask you and urge you in the Lord Jesus to do this more and more. 1 Thessalonians 4:1. Filled with the fruit of righteousness that come through Jesus Christ to the glory and the praises of God. 1 Peter 1:11. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, 2 Peter 1:5. Nevertheless, the righteous will hold to their ways, and those with clean hands will grow stronger, Job 17:9. And we who with universal faith all reflect the Lord glory are being transformed into his like ever increasing glory, which come from the Lord, who is the Spirit. 2 Corinthians 3:18. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your love, O Lord, endured forever. Do not abandon the work of your hands. Psalms 138:8. All over the world, his gospel is bearing fruit and growing, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it, and understand that grace in all is truth. Colossians 1:6. I press onward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us who are nature should take such a view all things, and if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attain. Philippians 3, 4, and 6, 3:14 and 16. The path of the righteous is like a first gem of dawn, shining over brighter until the full light of the day. Proverbs 4 and 18. And may God add his blessing to his word. Amen. Amen. Glory be to God. God bless everybody on the line. Good morning. Blessing, blessing, blessing.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you so much, Mother. Thank you for that powerful, anointed word. That reading was right on the money. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. You always bring a good word. You always bring a good reading. We just thank God for you. Keep apostle in prayer. And Bishop in prayer. They got a lot of stuff going, on. You know, a lot of remodeling work going on at the house, and plus they are having a lot of different tests. You know, physical tests and stuff. You know, we have to do that as you get older. You have to go through tests. Tomorrow I got to go to the doctor. But I guess I'm going after the program, because I haven't had a doctor in over 2 years. My doctor died, and since this COVID virus thing going around, the doctors are not accepting no new patients.
Okay.
But we just finally find a doctor that accepted me as a patient, so I will see him tomorrow for the first time. You know, we are grateful for that. You know, because if you don't check yourself, you don't know. People say if you don't check yourself, you wreck yourself. That's just the thing. But if you don't check yourself, you don't know what's going on in your body. You know if you got a headache or stuff like that. But apart from that, You need to check yourself. You need to have regular checkups, you know. So the doctor said, go have a blood test. And sometimes when you take the blood test, you find that stuff is acting kind of crazy in your blood. So then you got to take another test. But if you don't take a test, you don't know what's going on in your body. You know, a lot of our people die, and they said where they had colon cancer. And colon cancer is something that you can prevent if you check early. You know? Like, they don't go and get the colonoscopy. Yeah, people don't do that. And when they do, the doctor do found that something going on in the colon. When they get there, they got the colon polyps are so big, It don't make no difference if you take them out, because they're overgrown. So now the cancer is eating up all your intestines, you know? So that's why you got to take tests. You got to have tests. So let me see what this dog is doing. So I go and have to do this stuff. Hey. Hold on. Hold on. Give it me.
Yeah.
Hold on. That's my friend. Let me go on a second here. God is so good. She, my husband is very good to me. So I got this thing here for her. So God. You know what I'm saying? I think they're doing. They're doing him a favor. God's given us, doing us a favor, giving us life every day. We thank God. We thank and praise God. You find I had a praise, but special praise that dwells in this thing. Anyway, we're going to give it to these. Yeah. Hallelujah. Whew, glory to God.
Yep.
How you doing, my sister?
I'm doing wonderful.
Yes, Tom. I'm giving you two of these. Okay? Okay. No, he's filling all that stuff. Okay, so I'll give you two of them. These are powerful. Okay, I got some for the people in Louisiana. Everything going to turn out right. Believe what I'm telling you. Just as I tell you right now, things going to turn out right. Because God is hearing your prayer. You know what I'm telling you? He's hearing your prayer.
Okay.
I didn't hear the phone at all because I was...
I know you're getting busy.
Yeah. I'm on Blog Talk.
Yeah, okay.
All right, dear. Thank you so much. Yes, we're just thanking God, praising God. Yeah, I got some boys from Jerusalem. And that's my friend, my sister in Christ. You know, they always look out for me. Always look out for me. I tell you, don't ever know. They'll never know when they're going to stop by or send you something on Cash App.
Yeah.
Just the other day, I sowed a nice seed. And then the next day, Tina had to send me a seed of $400. And I just sowed a really good seed. And they sowed a seed in my life almost what I had sowed in somebody's life. And it gave me God given. That's why I love to give. That's why I love to give.
Amen.
I'm raising money for India right now, not for India, Africa for the children. And yesterday she called me, she says, Pastor, do you see? But it went to my wife's phone. It didn't come to my phone. She says, I said $100 for the kids. So I got to tell Nancy, sir, move the money from Zelle account to the bank so I can send the money to Ghana. Well, the money's not going to be ready till Wednesday. I thought it would be ready today. And I could, they take the cool time when they, if it were Western Union, I could get the money in a couple of minutes, you know. But when it comes to Zelle or Cash App, it takes time. The only way you can get it right away is just to pay to get it. I ain't going to pay no $9 to get the money. They want you to pay to get it. That's how they make their money. And some people would say, well, yeah, I'm going to pay to get it because they want to get it right away. I said, no. The people can wait. They can wait one day. They can wait one more day to get it. They didn't have it. So they didn't have anything to go with to start with. You know what I'm saying? So why can't they wait one more day? Because I thought it would be ready on Tuesday. And I told them, I said, well, I will call you Tuesday and send you the reference number. He said, okay, Apostle, thank you. But now I can send my message a little later. I said, well, we'll be right there tomorrow. And tomorrow I send a true Western Union and send him the conference number. And he's going to be happy. He's going to be happy. And I'll raise some more for them. Because now I'll get them some beds, and then I'll get them some food. You know, this is how God blesses you. This is how God... That's how you got blessed too, mother. That's how you get blessed. Because all you be doing for the people, all that food you were talking about, that day, the other line, all that food you be cooking for the homeless people and going up there and giving people food.
Yeah.
That's what God is keeping you. God is keeping your
all
children.
All by myself.
That's right. I told him that too.
I told him, you do that all by yourself.
All by yourself. That's right.
That's right. You ain't got nobody helping
you
cook.
I'm not afraid. I say, no, I'm not afraid. You know, God.
You ain't got nobody helping you cook. Ain't nobody helping you distribute the food. You're doing all that stuff yourself. God honors that stuff.
Uh-huh.
He honors that stuff.
My friend, she comes
to
the kitchen. She keep going to the Family Dollar buying plates. Them plates are dollar. Mm. She said, I can donate you some plates. She went and bring me 125 plates. You know, I don't use all of them. The covers and the spoon inside of it. And I go, I do that all by myself. I tell my church, my pastor that the other day. I say, I go out and feed the homeless every week. I say, all by myself. I cook my food, and I dish it up, and I go there, and I give it to them.
God is good. Yes.
That's my blessing. That is my blessing.
He is
sometimes
so good.
Sometimes it's raining I out there. Yep, I go and I give it to them. Carry them blankets, carry them clothes. Yes. Thank you, Jesus, and I feel good doing it.
Yeah, it's nothing like it, though, I tell you. When you do that, man, you feel so. I miss Washington, D.C., because that's what we used to do every weekend. We used to hit the streets, and feed the homeless, feed the drug addicts on the streets. We should go and feed them and get them clothes, get them jackets, and especially in the wintertime, take sweaters and brand new underwear and socks and all that stuff we should take for them. You know, it's a feeling that you can't tell nobody. They have to experience it for themselves. You know, experience doing it.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
You'll be blessed, man, doing it for yourself. So we thank God for you and for all the Deacon is on the line. I hear him this morning. He's on the line though. The line is open. You saying something, Mother?
No, I think sometimes when I got food to give to the inside, you know, I tell my daughter because she goes to the food banks too. I say that one just like me. She got. I say you go and you care to them. So they be telling her. Say they ain't see. She tells me, that's my mother. That's my mother. She sent me. She can't call. She sent me to bring it to you all. Say, okay, because I miss her. Sometimes when they don't see me, then when I go, they say, oh, I thought you forget about us. I say, my daughter, I send my daughter. You don't see me. I say, that's my daughter with this company. They say, okay. And she take right off.
That is,
going to
that
the
is
food
so
bank,
good.
Getting all this food. Yeah. And dishing it out to people.
Yeah,
I mean, food being cooked at the homes. The homes, they just take in the food because they got a kitchen. Because when I go out and I go through the streets, then I give it to them wherever left. I go inside the building and give it to them, you know, so they could feed the people who they got inside. Bless
them.
I tell my pastor, I say, I've been doing that for years. I say, all by myself. I say, no help, and I don't feel no way.
That's right. That's humanitarian work. You're doing humanitarian work. God will bless you for that.
Blessing.
Yep, so we just bless the name of the Lord Jesus for you all and thank God that you all came on this morning. And we pray that God continue to heal each and every one of us from every ailment, regardless of how small or how large. God, heal us, because there's much work to be done in this earth realm, much work to be done. And we can't do it if we're laid up in the hospital. We can't do it if we're in the grave. And, you know, we can do it if we still got the health and strength to go forth and do what God called us to do. So I'm just so excited to be part of what God is doing here on Blog Talk Radio. So listen, we're going to pray and close out. I have to call this lady and let her know I can't get to her till the week after next, because I'll be heading up to New Orleans on Saturday.
And Sunday morning, I'll be at the church with the folks. And I'll be there for about a week. And I should be able to bring Blog Talk Radio while I'm there because I did it before. And then I'll come back and I got to go and do finish this job up here when I get back. So I got to call this lady now. So, Father God, we thank you and praise you for this day. Thank you for Mother Grant has to come on and bring such a powerful, anointed word to add to the service today. And we thank you for all those that came on today. Had a couple of new people on from New Orleans was on with us today. And we just thank God for them, for their presence in our midst. We just bless the Lord for them. We ask, God, as we leave this line, that you continue to bless us in the city, bless us in the field. Lord, bless us when we come and bless us when we go. Oh, God, continue to make us the head and not the tail. Set us above and not beneath. Lord, we ask, oh, God, that you will, God, bless us that we can bless the homeless, the fatherless, the motherless, the homeless, and the orphans, widows, all those that are in need of a touch from you, to see your hand. Let us be the ones that touch them with love and compassion, with kindness, O God, with mercy and grace, that they will see your love through us, O God. Lord, not just in talking, but Lord, also in giving, even of our needs, giving them what we have, Lord God, so that they can have their needs met. And Father, we pray now that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit will continue to rest and abide upon us. And surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives as we dwell here in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Remember to tell someone that God loved them, you love them, and Jesus is the only way. And maybe the word you speak today in somebody's ear gate that will make all the difference in their lives. It may stop someone from committing suicide. It may stop someone from committing murder. It may stop someone from kidnapping a child, raping a child, sodomizing a child, or even breaking into someone's home and committing some heinous crime. Jesus said it this way in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. He said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. Jesus just wants people to see him in us. That's what he wants. He is the light of this world. And as long as he's inside of us, he ought to be shining through us, you know, and people ought to see that he is in us and coming out of us so that they can glorify the Father. They say, what must I do to be saved? You say, try Jesus. I just thank God for you all. Look forward to seeing you all on tomorrow. And you know Blog Talk Radio going to be on. I can't tell you who's going to bring the word tomorrow, but I know Blog Talk Radio going to be on. God bless you all. I love you all, but remember, God loves you more. Have a blessed and safe day. And this new virus is out there, so if you got to go there, wear your mask. Wear your mask. And, you know, it might help you. Okay, wear your mask. You know, some place you, they say you don't have to, but if you feel good not wearing your mask, don't wear it. But I wear my mask. Okay, I'm going to play some place I'm going to put on. Because the stuff, this new variant is out there, and people are dying already here in America from this new variant. God bless you all, and stay safe. Yep, stay safe. You got to, mother. You got to use common sense.
Yeah.
A lot of people are dying because a lot of people have not got the vaccine, and a lot of people are still doing what they know they shouldn't be doing, and they're coming down with the virus and dying. You know, the young woman that was listening to the news, yeah, now this woman was crying. She says, these girls were crying. She said that her mother was a young woman. She was young. She wasn't an old woman. And she died because she said she wasn't going to have the vaccine. And then she went between people who had the virus, and she got the virus. And the virus took her right out because she had underlying symptoms, and the virus just feed on the symptoms that she had already and took her out.
Oh.
People got to use common sense.
Yep.
People have to use common sense. So, you know, but that's what the word of God is calling for us to just continue to stay abreast. I had that word because last night the Lord dropped that word in my spirit. And it's a very funny topic that he gave me. And the topic was God's positioning system. And Yahweh GPS leads to positive results. And we came out of Philippians chapter 3, verse 10 to 14, and then we went into Genesis chapter 19, talking about Lot and his wife.
Right.
And how people look back. You know, people look back. That was Genesis chapter 19, verse 26. And we did Luke chapter 17, verse 32, Matthew 24, verse 17, Mark chapter 13, verse 15, Romans chapter 8, verse 7, 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 to 17, and Matthew 6 and 24. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 3, verse 13 to 14, and Luke chapter 18, verse 8. You know, these are scriptures that we're going to do a part 2 and probably a part 3 of this message, because there's so much inside there for us to really grasp from. You know, God wants us to keep looking forward. You know, a lot of times we can't, and I said in the message that a lot of times we can't get in the present because we're still living in the past. So we can't even enjoy the present life that we're in. You know, you might say, well, how are you saying we can't get in the present? I'm in the present life. Yeah, we are in the present here and now, but we're not experiencing the presence. We're not enjoying the presence. I was talking to a person the other day, and the person was telling me, he said, well, when my ex-husband did this, my ex-husband did that, my ex-husband, you know what I'm saying? Well, but he's ex. Why you keep worrying about him? He's gone. You know, longer we in. You can't even get a man to become, to get married to this man now, to get married. Because you're worrying about the ex. He's gone. You know, so God can't even give you a new husband because you're stuck on stupid, worrying about the man or worrying about the woman. You know, my ex-wife did this, and my ex-wife did. Man, she gone. She been gone for 6 years. You still wearing the boat. 7 years, 10 years. Man, let her go. Let her go. Time for God to bless you. I lost my house. I lost my house 20 years ago. Man, the house been gone 20 years. Time to look for a new house. You know, God can't even bless you. And this is what people do. That's what God showed me this word today. Lot wife could have been still alive. She could have still been alive. She could have come up. She could have come out of Sodom and Gomorrah and lived with her husband. But she was caught up in her past. She didn't want to let go of her past. And she died in her past. She was turned into a pillar of salt. And this is what happened to us. Somewhat we're like a pillar of salt on the inside because we still stuck on the past. We wouldn't let go of the past. We hold on to the past. I always say to myself, if mother, this is me, this is truly me. If a person's offend me, I forgive them. I forget. I let go. Why? Because I'm not going to let, because you took my money, don't pay me back my money. I'm not going to worry about it all that time worrying about it. No. You know, look, I had some here on Blog Talk where person called me to borrow some money. Okay? I'm not going to call the person in. I'm not going to tell you. But I'm going to tell you what the person did. It was difficult. The day the person said it would pay me back, they wouldn't pay me back. And it was a lot of money. So you know what I did? Guess what I did? I said, well, look, I'm going to cut what you owe me in half. Take half as an offering from me. Brother, I said, that's what you owe me. Took a half of what you owe me. And pay me the other half when you get it. Well, it took about 2 payments for them to pay me the other half. But I got the other half. I got half of the money. It was better for me to get half of the money than not to get any at all. You know?
Yeah.
Yes, I was saying. Well, now I know I love that person, but they can't come and borrow money from me again.
No more.
You know what I'm saying? You can't borrow from me again.
I had one person borrow $1,000 from me and never pay me another penny, and I forgive him back in Virginia. But that's what you do when you are, well, Paul was talking about in the scripture we talked about in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10 to 14. Well, Paul was talking about, don't keep dwelling on your past. My family did this. My husband did this. My co-worker did that. Oh, my neighbor did. Stop that stuff. Leave that stuff alone. Leave it alone. We cannot enjoy the present that God wants us to be. He wants us to start enjoying the present because he wants to take us from the present into the future. And we can't get in the future if we can't handle the future, the present. First thing we got to do is deal with the present situation. And then we can step in the future. This is what the message is about. Paul said, I forget those things that are behind me. I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus, of God in Christ Jesus. Paul said, I'm pressing on. You know, people are still accusing me of being a persecutor of the church. But that's not who I am anymore. I am an apostle of God. That's what Paul is saying. I have been transformed. I have been renewed. God has changed my life. I'm working for God now. Jesus met me on my way to Damascus. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That's what Paul is saying. We got to get, all of us, you, me, all of us got to get to that place where we let go and let God. You know, we say that because of the cliche that the people use, let go and let God. But for real, we have to let go of foolishness, because the enemy bringing thoughts in our mind to stop us from fellowshipping with each other, stopping us from getting along with each other, helping each other. I need you to help me. I need to help you. We need to help one another. That's how we, if we can't help one another, if we can't get along with one another down here in this earth realm, do you think you're going to get along in heavenly realm? Matter of fact, we're not going to get into heavenly realm. Because if you have aught against your brother or sister, Jesus says, don't even come to the altar. If you come there, leave your gift there at the altar and go back and make right with your brother or sister. Then come and offer up your offering. That's what he says. So if I got something against you or anybody or holding something, I ain't going to heaven. Because that's going to stop me. As much as I preach, as much as I teach. That's why I try my utmost best to forgive everybody and forget. I love you all, and I tell you all every day, I love you all, but God loves you more. Christ Jesus loves you more. Yahweh loves you more. How do I know? Because he died on the cross. I'm not going on the cross for nobody, but he went for all of us. That's how I know he loved you more than others. I still love you, but I'm not going on the cross for you because Christ did that already. You know, so we got to just love on each other. Let's come on tomorrow. Come on early tomorrow and enjoy the word. I don't know who can bring the word. Apostle is busy and Providence Millie is busy with her sister, you know. But I just believe that God is bringing her sister out because of Mother Grant, you know, when you was having that problem with your blood pressure, with your diabetes, when your blood with the insulin would go down and go up, where she is, her blood pressure is acting just like insulin. She's blood pressure is really good. Her blood pressure is good while she's laying down. As long as she's laying down, blood pressure is good. But as soon as she get up out that bed, she get up out that bed and put her feet on the ground, her blood pressure goes all the way down. Not go up, go down. Like she going to faint. Because when your blood pressure drops, you will faint. And if you're in that house by yourself, you can fall and bust your head to the floor or to the wall. So they were trying to get her shine. Because the doctor said they can't figure out why her blood pressure is doing that. So they were trying to. I don't know because I haven't heard from her. And Apostle haven't heard. She said she's been texting her. And paging her, she haven't get a response. So I said, well, let me know what's going on. Because she's supposed to be heading to Louisiana this weekend with us.
You
are supposed to meet there. So
Yeah. She going there too. She'll be there. And not Prophet Millie, her sister.
Oh,
Prophet Millie's sister. It's her sister. She had the surgery for the cancer. She had surgery for cancer, you know. And after she had the surgery, now her blood pressure's acting up. So I'd keep her in prayer. And the doctors can't figure what is causing her blood pressure to drop so fast. They can't figure it. So they're saying now that they have done all they can. How can you be a doctor and say you've done all you can do?
Yeah.
You know? I go to people's house to fix the furnace or air conditioner. And if that thing don't work, I don't tell the people I've done all I can do. Now, if it's a very old system and the compressor piston, the compressor is bad, I say, well, you need a new compressor or a new condenser. But if it's something, I'm not going to say, well, I've done all I can do. There's nothing else I can do. I did all to find where the problem is. I just fixed one for a guy over here. I could have caused him to spend over $4,000. Well, the job cost him $615. He's happy. Because when I went in his house was 120-some degrees inside his house. I mean, hot, hot, hot. You could have put an egg in his house on the floor and it would cook. It was that hot. It's 99 degrees outside in the neighborhood. And that'll come to you. And I went out there. I was soaking wet outside working on the air conditioner. And it wasn't raining. I mean, my perspiration was dropping off my cap peak. But when I leave that house, that old air conditioner, almost 20 years old, was singing. And the pipes was ice cold. And it's still working up to today. And he ain't had to spend no $4,000. I could have told him. He said, do you think I need a new air conditioner? You know, and that's a bad thing for you to ask a technician when they come to your house. Do you think I need a new furnace? Don't ever ask him that.
Yeah.
Don't ever, I tell you, mother, don't ever ask them, do you think I need a new air conditioner? I need a new furnace. They will tell you, but ma'am, looking at it, I think the best thing is you should get a new system. They're going to sell you a system.
Yeah.
Don't ever ask them that. Don't ever ask them that. I'll tell them that I know that it's a problem. I know you can fix it. As you tell them, I know you can fix it. Do whatever needs to be done. Because you're going, even if it costs you a few hundred dollars, you're still going to cost you less than if you got to put in the whole system. Because you're looking at $6,000 or $7,000 to put a whole system in. Don't ever, people do that mistake and they tell the man, well, you think I need a new air conditioner? And the man gonna say, well, looking at it, ma'am, I will really tell you the truth. I would recommend a new system. Your money gone.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't do that. I tried my best to be very honest, straight up with people. And I said, look, if it can be fixed, I will fix it. And I troubleshoot everything. I take my analyzing machines and I go through every electrical component. And I go from step A to step Z. I don't just come in and say, let me just check this and done. Buy a new this. I go from A to Z. And when I come out that house, if your system can be fixed, I guarantee you it's running. I guarantee you. Yeah. So we love you guys so much. I see some new callers come on. We just thank God for you all coming on. You all missed the message, but go back and listen to the message. This is a good message today. And I wasn't pushing. I took my cool time and I put a lot of stuff on there today. I'm going to do a part two and a part three of this message because there's so much I got to give you all on this. People got to focus, man. You know, God only walks a straight and narrow way. He does not walk a crooked way. Satan walks the crooked way. But God leads us the straight and narrow path. And the path is narrow. It's narrow. He said that not many people are going to find it. But that crooked, winding road is wide. And a lot of people are going to find it because they think they're having a good time going on that twisted, winding road. But that winding road leads to destruction. God said, don't look back. Lot's wife, she looked back.
because she's looking at that winding, crooked road. Everything was happening down that road. And she was turned into a pillar of salt. Today, I declare that that shall not be our portion, that we're going to do whatever we got to do to live holy. And we're going to help one another as children of God so we can do what God wants on this earth. I love you guys, but remember, God loves you more. I'll already pray and close this out. And we shall see you all on tomorrow morning. Thank you so much, Mother Grant, for the reading of the word. We bless you all and bless you, evangelists. And Bishop and Apostle, and we bless you, Deacon. We thank you all for coming on the line. And Sister Anna, we thank God for you. Thank God for you all. God bless you. Have a blessed, safe day. And stay protected from this variance that they got going around now, okay? God bless you. Bye-bye.
Bless you, too. Bless you. Apostle.
Bless you.
God bless you.
All right, evangelist. I see you. God bless you.
All right.
My God, I miss you, but I see you've been on a couple of days. You know, we miss you, but come on in and let's hear your voice. We love you. But remember, God loves you more, and stay safe from this new virus out there, okay? Wear your mask. This new virus out there is not, this new virus out there is not playing no joke. It's killing people fast, this new virus.
That's right.
So you get it, you die. So you get it, you die. Woman had the virus. One lady had the virus. I think they said she had a brush for a few days and she was gone.
Mm-hmm.
Real fast.
Yeah.
So be safe
yeah.
and protect. God bless you. I love you guys so much. Look forward to seeing
you
all tomorrow. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
God bless.
Bye-bye.